This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over the NBA, Major League Baseball, get his thoughts on the Game 4s here on Monday, the lottery, which I will get to in a second. Baseball futures, maybe have some time for some tennis, some NFL, as we're not quite at the point here where you turn the page from those winter sports, obviously, and it starts to feel like summer. But sooner rather than later, you get down to, you know, sometimes one NBA game a night, one NHL game a night. Once you get to the conference finals, it's not the rhythm of the first couple rounds where NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, you get multiple. It feels like there's two or three games on in each sport on at all times. But I'll get to my thoughts on the lottery and in the game fours, but the game fours is where I'll start. And, you know, last time I was on doing the Friday episode, Cleveland had just lost to Detroit. Detroit went up 2-0. But I said, you know what? This is one of those series, and we see this plenty of times, where the series looks different once you switch venues. And I think this is going to be the case. And if you look at Cleveland, they've won every home game. They've lost every road game. And right now, you could still get Cleveland in 7 plus 475. I talked about that the other night when it was plus 600. I do think Cleveland holds serve here. I don't love the idea of laying 3.5. It should be a close game. And boy, if you laid the points on Saturday, you got pretty lucky, because that was a one-point game with 25 seconds to go, and it somehow landed on 7. So if you took the points, that's a tough one. If you laid the points, you know what? You don't complain about a bad beat the next time. But give the Cavs credit. We all crush them. Nobody really likes Harden. Mitchell has had more of his issues in these playoffs than I think some people realize. You know, his teams have gotten upset a lot. He has had a hard time as a higher seed. But give them credit. They're up 16 at the half. It looks like they're going to do what teams down 2-0 at home usually do when there's even teams. They're going to come out. They're going to take care of business. And we'll see in game four. So they're up 16 at half. They're up 17. They're up 67-50. 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Before you can blink, with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, they're losing. And it was weird, because then again, they took a lead by 8. And then they're leading most of the fourth quarter. And then they're trailing again 101-100 with just a few minutes left. And you're saying, man, everything is on the table with this team now. Harden, Mobley, Mitchell, the coach. I mean, if you lose this game and lose this series the way it was looking on Saturday, you blow it up and everything is at least in consideration. But they won. Give Harden credit. He made big shots. The shot that put him up 3, 1-point game, hit another 3 to put it up 4 at 7 points in crunch time. Cavs made their free throws. And I do think we're getting a longer series. I don't like really trust Cleveland. Once you got to a game 7, I just like the price tag of plus 475. I do think this is one where home court, you know, probably holds up throughout. And I do think they win here, you know, in game number 4. I just think they have a better half-court offense and more talent than Detroit. Now, on the flip side of it, Detroit has the best player in the series with Cunningham, and Detroit has home court. But, you know, there's a balance there where I do think the better players are on Cleveland. If you play these games on a neutral court, maybe 55-45 Cleveland, but obviously none of these games are going to be on a neutral court. Everyone has home court. Somebody has home court in every one of these games. So I do think we're looking at 7. And the NBA kind of needs 7, because a lot of these series are wrapping sooner than we thought. And I talked about it a lot this year that, you know, the NBA regular season is just kind of a lost cause at this point. It's nothing like it used to be. You lose a lot of the intensity. You lose pretty much all the intensity, a lot of the tanking. There's just not a lot of stakes in these games during the regular season. But the playoffs should be awesome. That's what I thought. And I said this multiple times. The second round of the playoffs are lining up to be great. When you look at the final four in each conference, it really hasn't played out that way. I think part of it, the Nuggets got upset. The Celtics got upset. Luka got hurt. If you reverse all of those things and you have a healthy Luka, yeah, they don't probably don't beat the Thunder. I'll get to that game in a minute. They probably don't beat the Thunder. But then that goes maybe 6. Lakers get at least a game. Maybe things break right. It goes 7. Celtics-Knicks is probably better than 76ers-Knicks. Nuggets-Spurs is probably better than T-Wolves and Spurs. Although the T-Wolves have showed themselves pretty respectively, you know, so far in this series. So the second round can use a little juice here. We'll see if the Pistons and Cavs can go a long way. I'm sure if you're the Knicks, you're saying, hey, play as long as you want. We can rest up and we can just wait for the winner, as the Knicks will await this winner and you know, play for a conference championship. And you look at the start date of the finals. I mean, we're recording this. By the time you listen to this, it's May 11th or May 10th. You know, May 10th, May 11th, as you know, recording this. The NBA finals do not start, and it's weird. It's a Wednesday, June 3rd for an NBA finals start date here. So you got a long way to go. We'll see if we can get some juice out of these series. But I do like the Cavs. If I had to take it or lay it, I would, you know, I would certainly lay it, and I do prefer probably on the money line here with Cleveland. As far as the other game, boy, OKC and the Lakers, it's hard to make a case for the Lakers. They have played about as admirably, about as well as you could have expected. They just run out of gas in these games. They led by 7 in game 1. They led in game 2 in the third quarter. They led at halftime in game 3, making a million threes. They just don't have the horses. OKC, all their guys can dribble, can pass, can shoot, can defend. You know, they don't really have another superstar besides SGA. Holmgren's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And they just got good players up and down the roster, whether it's AJ Mitchell, who's tremendously underrated, you know, Caruso. You go down the line, they are just loaded with talent. You know, Dort is a good 3-and-D guy. You just name a player. They all have skill. They can all defend, and they just run you ragged. And the Lakers don't have the horses. LeBron's 41. Reeves is okay. But there's just, this is not a fair fight. This is the JV versus the varsity. Again, if Luka was in, maybe it goes 6. Could be 5. Could be 7 if it broke right. But for me, I've been talking about OKC to sweep the whole time. I see no reason to think otherwise. I don't love getting involved in game 4s when the series is 3-0, because sometimes the team down 3-0, which I think most people expect, kind of cashes it in and says, you know what, we'll see in Cancun. Our season's over. It was a good run. And they get run out of the building. I've seen it the other way, though, where the team up 3-0 says, you know what, we got our game on the road. Whether we win this in 4 or whether we win this in 5 doesn't really make much of a difference. So you can get some spotty efforts both ways. I don't love getting involved, but I could only look towards the Thunder here laying the 10.5. And it's interesting. I mean, again, they win this game by 18 in game 1, 18 in game 2. They win by 20-something in game 3. And these games have all felt pretty close and felt close in the third quarter. And then the Lakers just don't have, you know, that extra gear here to make it a fourth quarter game. They got it the Saturday night game in game 3. They were leading at half. OKC runs out, double digit lead. They cut it to 5. And then Isaiah Joe hits back-to-back threes, made it 11. And it was pretty much over from there. I'm not sure the Lakers ever got it to single digits again. But as far as series prices right now, Cleveland in Detroit, Detroit's minus 250. OKC is minus 2. And then there are a series of zeros after that. Lakers are 70-1. Book me. I will book your 70-1 with a smile on my face. Do not bet the Lakers at 70-1. They are not winning this series. As far as correct series score, I mentioned, like in the other one, Pistons in 7 is plus 235. That's the short shot. Pistons is 5 is the second short shot at 3-1. Pistons in 6 plus 370. And then you get all the Cavs outcomes. Cavs in 7 plus 475, which is the one I like. And then if you think the Cavs are going to win the next 3 and win it in 6, Cavs are plus 500. I think that's a longer series. And I think, you know, people always say this too. Game 3 is where the series turns. Game 3 is the key game. Which I understand. I know Joe Torre said that for years in baseball sometimes, and he had plenty of aces to choose from, where he would say, I like having my best pitcher, one of my aces in game 3, because either it's 1-1 and it's a tie series, and then that's the turning point game, and I have my ace in game 3, or down 3-0 and I need it, or I'm down 2-1 and I really need it. And if I'm up 3-0, I don't worry about it. To me, game 4 is where you kind of learn about the series. Is it going to be a long series like tomorrow night, like Monday night here with Detroit and Cleveland? If Detroit wins this game, you know what? It's a short series. Most likely it's in 5 and Detroit's going to be moving on. Where if Cleveland wins, you're obviously guaranteed a game 6 and you might get a game 7. And I think game 4 a lot of times is where these series reveal themselves in terms of being a short series or a long series. But again, I think Cleveland in 7 is a good bet, a smart bet, and smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription, normally $240 for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, and 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I should know VSIN.com. I use it enough and I work for VSIN. So VSIN.com/subscribe. Can't recommend it enough. Look, I use it all the time. I go there all the time. It is well worth it. And by the way, before we get to Gilly, for those of you who don't usually listen to this podcast, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they drop 6 a.m. Eastern. If you just download, subscribe, you will get this in your inbox. And again, usually they are up first thing in the morning when you wake up, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So rate, review, subscribe, would appreciate that. We will get to Gil Alexander in just a minute. But again, just to recap here, I like the Cavs in game four. I like the Cavs in 7 plus 575. And, you know, it would be a smaller bet on OKC minus the 10.5. I just don't see how the Lakers down 3-0 are going to say, you know what, let's rally, let's play a good game, let's put up a fight here. I don't love getting involved when it's game four of a 3-0 series, but this seems like a scenario where it could be 1-2-3 Cancun and OKC could just run them out of the gym and go into the conference finals undefeated. I think that's very possible here. And to me, OKC is going to be holding up the trophy here in another month or so. They are just better than everyone else, but we'll see if San Antonio can give them a series, and we'll see what Gil Alexander thinks. I know he has some Spurs futures. We'll get his thoughts on this, the lottery, some baseball. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast.
Welcome back to Should Have Bet More on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him a numbers game, beating the book, Megapod, a frequent guest on this podcast, and he's kind enough to join us once again. Gil Alexander. Gil, it's Sunday, it's the lottery day, and the Washington Wizards are on the clock. They win the lottery. We'll get to some NBA stuff. We'll get to a few other things, but is the city buzzing? Are you excited here? What's your takeaway here with the draft lottery?
Thanks for having me, Will. The city is never buzzing when it comes to the Wizards. They really don't exist, but there were some people who were, of course, you know, like, well, let's see what we end up with the lottery. John Wall worked out so many years ago at number one. But the more modern day sentiment for Wizards fans is, well, we had Denny Avdia, we had Rui Hachimura. They seem to be doing well. So let's see how we mess this up, even if we get a good pick. So it's very defeatist here, generally speaking, I would say.
The odds are up faraway place. DeBonza now minus 425 to be the favorite. He was an underdog, you know, middle of the college basketball season, slowly moved towards the favorite. Now a pretty decided favorite. Peterson plus 325. And then everyone else, Cam Boozer 9-1. And then, Acuff 75-1. I don't think anyone else really in the mix here. Do those odds seem right to you?
Yes. I have come around on DeBonza as the number one guy. I think our buddy Todd Wishnev, who watches more college basketball than all of us put together, He's not a fan of DeBonza's size and thinks he's a tweener. But if you watch, like if you watch the tape on DeBonza, it's hard to get away from him. And Peterson is starting to say, well, here's why I wasn't necessarily playing well. I had some things going on. I'm not sure that anything we saw from him in big moments late in the season should make him the favorite to be number one. I think it's DeBonza. I really do, for the Wiz.
Any other betting takeaways here? Just takeaways in general. The Clippers get a break here. Their pick doesn't end up being, you know, top three, top five to OKC. So they avoid that embarrassment. It's a sunken cost at this point, but they at least avoid that. And they get the fifth pick in the Zubac trade. The Pacers, they rolled the dice. It was a coin flip either way. They rolled the dice and lost. The Clippers now going to pick fifth overall. Anything you're going to be eyeing here just in terms of a takeaway, or, you know, I know we don't bet a lot of, you know, NBA season win totals or futures this far out, but was there any other takeaway here in terms of lottery?
Not really. That was obviously the big one with, you know, my comment when they first made that trade was, boy, the Indiana Pacers really must love Zubats to put themselves in this sort of gamble situation. But you know what? This was kind of like the gap year for them anyway. I think that they, usually I say if they give them truth serum, would they be happy with this? I don't think that they're that upset about it, having Zubats to add to the core from last year. So I don't know. I mean, look, the NFL draft isn't the NBA draft. The NFL draft, I don't think, really adds much betting difference right. from the before and after. NBA a little more, but I don't know that there's a massive takeaway here.
How about the games on Monday night? Cavs laying 3.5. And people, I'm sure, getting out their pens and papers, hearing what you think, because you are, and we'll get to it in a second, you are doing very well in the NBA Killer Sports Challenge here at VSiN. But Cavs laying 3.5, total 212.5. We'll start with that. Do you have a feeling here? I kind of went into these Cleveland games thinking, I got a good feeling. I think Cleveland has a good shot to get both, and this could be a longer series. I don't love laying 3.5, but I do think Cleveland probably evens this series. What do you say?
I had Cleveland yesterday. I thought that was the one they got, that they would get. It needed James Harden heroics of all people to get there in the end. I actually think I would lean Detroit plus the points tomorrow. I think that Cleveland is one of these teams that is just super frustrating. I think they had their moment. I'd actually lean Detroit plus the points. Though I will say, though, in this conference semifinals, this gets pretty hard here now with the nature of these series. Obviously, you have the 2-3 nothing series. That's kind of hard to navigate sides on. Cleveland-Detroit, man, I don't know what to make of either of those teams really in the long run, but I trust Detroit a little more. They've got the best player on the court at all times in Kate Cunningham. So I actually think Cleveland got their game. For me, it's Detroit or nothing tomorrow.
How about the other one? Boy, it's hard to make a case for the Lakers. And they've showed themselves, I mean, as admirably as you can be for down 3-0 and losing every game by, 20-plus points thereabouts, they just don't have the horses. They'll play well for a half, sometimes three quarters, and then they just get steamrolled. OKC's too good. They're too deep. They can all dribble. They can all shoot. They can all pass. They can all defend. They're just a loaded team. 10.5 is a lot, especially on the road. But, boy, I would be laying it before I took it here. Do you have any thought or opinion on this game?
Yeah, unlike Philly, New York, I really feel like with that spread in Philly, New York, it's a small one on Sunday. I think Philly actually will show some pride and win game four on Sunday, which is just about to tip off as we're recording this. OKC, you said it. LA, I'm impressed by how they played in all three games. Couldn't have played better without Luka. And then in the end, just OKC goes ahead and just takes the spread. They get ahead of the number. I don't know. That's not a game I would want to play on the spread. Game four, obviously, they'll be prideful, but it's OKC or nothing in the end as well. They're just too many weapons, ultimately, in a 48-minute basketball game for the Lakers to get inside the number on these guys. And it's no shame to the Lakers, man. Like, they've done all they can do. But this team is a juggernaut. It's going to be a juggernaut for years and years to come.
I mentioned the NBA contest. Why have you done so well? What are the current standings? I'm not following it day to day, but I know you are deemed by Steve Fezzik, and we know that is as good as the law, a big, sizable favorite odds on to run away and win this thing. Why do you think it's gone so well for you?
I say this all the time, Will, and I know it probably rubs some NBA hardos wrong, but I really believe more than any sport, you're actually better off not being influenced by the 82-game regular season than you are if you have watched all 82 games intently. Now, that's not to say that I haven't followed basketball. I have. Do a show. We talk about basketball a lot. But I think you get really entrenched, especially in the NBA, in opinions of teams that does not do you good service come postseason. And I think we saw that with the Heat against the Celtics and others a few years back. I think we saw it last year. I did very well in the contest where I was fourth. I'm just unburdened by thinking Cleveland's good. I'm unburdened by thinking, the Lakers are good. I'm unburdened by many things that a lot of people are entrenched in their belief. And I'm not trying to be mean person saying that. I know it comes off poorly. I'm actually trying to give a handicapping tip about the NBA. And I think that's why I do well in these more than anything.
I know you and I both have taken shots on the Spurs here at different prices. I actually bet them pretty much a year to the date when they got the second pick in last year's draft, thinking, you know what, maybe they get Giannis, and I'm happy to have the 40, 45-1, whatever it is. You jumped in middle of the season. They were beating OKC like a drum, and you said, you know what, I've seen enough. They've got Wembanyama. They've got all these players. They can actually win this thing. One of them you paired with the Celtics at 125-1 exact matchup, which was a tremendous bet. I heard people giving it out before the playoffs at 5-1. So even though it didn't get home, man, that's just such an awesome bet. You just took a shot at the number in life on your line. You'd still pick OKC? Or when we get this series going here in the last couple minutes, you actually think the Spurs are going to beat them? If all things were being equal, you would pick San Antonio to win this
series. I picked San Antonio. Will, when they played those games, my comment was, in crunch time, the first game they played against each other in crunch time, I found myself trusting the Spurs on the offensive end more than I did trusting OKC. And that sounds crazy, but Wembanyama is such an unbelievable force that I just felt like those kids with San Antonio, that's where I wanted to put my money. That has not changed. And I know a lot of people will go, and they're not wrong, right? They're not wrong to have the thought of, well, these kids have never been through it before. You know how the NBA, it's sort of this evolution. It's a progression that you have to go through from year to year. You don't just show up and beat the champ. That's kind of the NBA tried and true thing. So I get that. But at 19-1 at the time on Christmas Day is when I got that ticket. I got the 125-1 against the Celtics the same time. I'm still kind of bitter about that one. I legit think they're the better basketball team in a best of seven. I could be very wrong, by the way. OKC could take them down. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. But at that price, that was the play. And I legitimately think San Antonio is the team to beat.
In the last minute or so, once we get that series price, assuming we get that series, will you double up and take them? What do you expect that series price to be? And is this like, you know what, San Antonio in seven, they win a game in OKC to win it, they win in six. What's just your general thoughts here in terms of how you anticipate playing this?
OKC will be a favorite. I don't think they'll even be a $2 favorite. I think it'll be shy of a $2 favorite. That's my guess. I probably won't double up. I'll probably just, want to see it manifest. Maybe if the Spurs fell in the series early on, then maybe I'll get into it because I don't think I'll get the price I want at the beginning. But I think I would rather just let that one ride rather than adding on to it. The game by game has been great for me. I'll continue to play the playoffs that way. I won't change that just because I have a bet on San Antonio.
Yeah, and look, I do think we're getting that series. And I just hope. I mean, we've all suffered through this regular season. And I said, you know what? The playoffs are going to be awesome. I even think the second round has been a little bit disappointing. The Celtics have gotten upset. The Nuggets got upset. Luke has been hurt. I think all of those things, if they were different, maybe we'd have a better second round. The one thing I'm hoping for, and look, there's more important, more serious things in the world. I hope we get a conference championship. Spurs, Thunder, they're both healthy, and they just go to battle. They go to war for a good six or seven games, and we see a fair series. It's not SGA rolling an ankle, Wemby getting hurt. I just hope we get, and if you look at the schedule, the finals doesn't start until June 3rd, so we're going to have a layoff at some point here if this if this continues the way it's going. We'll be back here, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back to Should Have Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, thank you to Gil Alexander. We are back, Should Have Bet More podcast. Let's talk some NBA draft lottery. Talked about it a little bit with Gil, and it's funny. I posted this question on Twitter, which is always interesting. I like to think I have smart followers, but maybe I'm biased in terms of that, but I do get good feedback, and I think most of the people that follow me and listen to this show, and I always say this, people that listen to VSiN are more intelligent than the people watching the hot take shows, things like that. But I threw out the question, is the lottery rigged? And I had just, look, this is how it goes, whether it's sports, politics, you get people that are very passionate about on both answers, which, makes it interesting. And some people saying, obviously it's rigged. Of course, how could you even ask that? It's definitely rigged. And they make their case. And there are some good points. The Luka thing last year was unlikely. It was fishy that, Lakers get Luka, which benefits the league. And then the Mavs get their back scratched. They get Cooper Flagg, this kind of generational player, and everyone is pretty much happy. And then you have other people saying, of course, it's not rigged. The Knicks are never taken care of back when the Knicks weren't good, which, I mean, it hasn't been a while now. The Knicks are no longer a laughing stock, but, for years, really decades, it was the Knicks were just a mess. They were picking in the lottery. And I go back to the 2019 lottery where it was Zion who, again, the word generational probably gets thrown around too much, but Zion Williamson was viewed as a generational prospect. Ja Morant was not far behind. You figured he was a pretty safe pick, probably multiple-time All-Star, going to be a really good, if not great, NBA player for a long time. In the first couple of years of his career, it certainly looked like that. Zion has been hurt. Ja's been hurt, off the court stuff. And the Knicks had the worst record that year and ended up with RJ Barrett. So, which ended up not being the worst pick when you look back at it. You might take RJ Barrett over those guys. But the bottom line, if it was rigged, the Knicks would have been helped out a lot more in the past than they've been. The Bulls, who are a big market franchise, probably would have been helped out more than they have in the past. So it's interesting to talk about. I don't think it's rigged, and I would phrase it this way. Do you think it's rigged? Do you think it's not rigged, or you're not sure? I'm probably more C, because I'm always skeptical of this stuff, especially when you can't see the process. But I know certain people, you know, think everything is rigged, and I tend to not go down that road. But like we talked about with Gil, the Wizards win the lottery. You'd think DeBonsa's the pick here. He's minus 425 to go number one. Darren Peterson, who was the favorite, you know, for most of the college basketball season, until he wasn't, until all these injuries popped up, he is plus 325 to go first. When you're the Wizards, you need so much stuff. You just take the best available player. So I wouldn't worry about fit, anything like that. Although, you know, they have Trae Young, they have Anthony Davis, and now they're going to have the first pick. So the Wizards being like a not only a playoff team, but maybe a top six seed next year, if they actually keep Davis and he can be healthy, a big if, they can keep Trae Young and he's going to be healthy. You add DeBonsa and you add some of the other young players, it's not impossible the Wizards go from being the number one pick in the draft to at least a play-in team, if not like a legitimate sixth, seventh seed, something like that. Sort of like how Charlotte was last year in terms of a transition, and they can actually be, if not good right away, respectable. But like I said, Wizards get the first pick. The Jazz, after some bad years of lottery luck, at the second pick. The Grizzlies third. The Bulls fourth. The Bulls just, man, they were sitting in there in that final grouping, that final group of four. And it is interesting to watch the lottery too, because it's these grown men with these important jobs. They make a lot of money in their fancy suits, and they are just sitting there trying to hide their emotions, except when they win the lottery, then they kind of, you know, they emote. And trying to just hide their disappointment when they realize they didn't win. And it's such an absurd process, because it's so important for these teams and their franchise. Now, in recent years, SGA was, what, 13th pick? Jokic went in the 40s. So it used to be, you know, Shaq, Weber, these guys that were elite picks would go first pick, if not that, and then top three. There's a little more randomness to it now, but like Wembanyama a couple years ago, you win that pick, you're good for a long time. So it is just a fascinating process, fascinating to see the drama of it. And the ultimate was 2003, when the Cavs had the LeBron pick, and it was down to the Cavs or the Grizzlies. And there was this trade stipulation from an Otis Thorpe trade like 5 or 6 years ago, where the Grizzlies would either get the first pick overall and get LeBron James, or they would lose their pick altogether to Detroit. Well, we know what happened. Cavs get LeBron, the Memphis gets nothing, Detroit gets the pick. They end up taking Darko Milicic and passing on Carmelo, you know, Bosh, Wade. The rest of the draft is history. But it's just a fascinating day, and it's just such a fascinating process, you know, regardless of what you think in terms of it being on the level. But like I said, so Wizards 1, Jazz 2, Grizzlies 3, Bulls 4, Clippers 5th, Nets obviously hoping for better 6th, the Kings hoping for better 7th, and then you get the Hawks, who, look, a playoff team, you get the 8th pick, it's a pretty good draft. That they could bounce back and be a pretty good team next year. That could be a useful pick right away for a team that's not bad. Dallas with Flagg, with Kyrie. You know, we'll see what they do with Klay Thompson. They get the 9th pick. Milwaukee, is the 10th pick enough to keep Giannis around and keep him happy? Probably not. So you probably, if you're Milwaukee, you trade around what you get for Giannis, and I do think they'll trade him probably sooner rather than later. My goodness, enough drama, enough. We don't want to hear it anymore. Is he staying? Is he going? I'm probably guilty of talking about it too much, at least at the deadline, but you would think Giannis is out the door, so Milwaukee probably builds around, you know, the 10th pick and whatever they get in that deal. No such luck for the Warriors, who, you know, any hope of Curry playing on a semi-competitive championship level team probably goes out the window, unless you get a superstar somehow falling in your lap. The Warriors don't strike gold like some people might have been hoping for. And that's the other thing too, with it being rigged, or if people think it's not on a level. If they were going to ring it, the Warriors would have been the team. Hey, let's put Curry with DeBonsa. Let's have a nice story here and give Curry a nice final chapter to his career. That obviously not the case. OKC, the 12th pick. They get the pick from the Clippers. So the Clippers avoid some embarrassment. I'll get to the Clippers here in a second. The Clippers avoid some embarrassment of, you know, that SGA trade in 2019, which is going to go down as one of the worst trades in history. That at least you save some face there. And it's not like you gave away the second or third pick, or God forbid, the first pick. The 12th pick, it still stings. You like to have that pick, but you know what? You live with it. It could have been worse. So OKC, the rich get richer. They pick 12th. Miami picks 13th. Charlotte picks 14th. The other interesting thing of this lottery here, aside from, you know, the Wizards getting the first pick, was this trade back at the deadline. And it was a very strange trade between the Clippers and the Pacers. Clippers were in the mix for the playoffs. Pacers are rebuilding. down year, had the lead in the NBA Finals, game seven last year, as we know, on the road before Halliburton got hurt or after Halliburton got hurt. But they trade, the Pacers trade for Ivaka Zubac, the big man from the Clippers, and they have this trade stipulation where this pick goes to the Clippers if it's 5 through 9, and the Pacers keep it as 1 through 4. A major gamble, a major risk. Zubac is a nice player, but to lose a top 4 pick, or to lose a top 5 pick here, like the Pacers did, was something they put on the table. And you know what? Look, it's VSiN. We're a betting network. We like betting. We're gamblers. Sometimes you gamble, as we all know, and sometimes you go all in and you lose. And the Pacers, like I said, Zubac is a nice player, but the fact that you lose the 5th pick in the draft, in a good draft, where there's a lot of talent, you could have put the 5th pick in the draft with your core, with Halliburton, with Siakam, with all the guys you had last year that took you to the finals, and you could have added a good young player, cost control, he's going to be good for a long time, and you could have traded the pick, too, if you really wanted to go win now. Instead, you get nothing. All right, Zubac, like I said, you're happy to have him on the team, but that was, I think, 52-48 in favor of the Pacers, keeping it basically a coin flip. That coin landed the wrong way for the Pacers, and finally, the Clippers. Finally, they get a little bit of luck. Nothing has gone their way since that 2019 trade in July where Kawhi made the deal. Hey, I'll come here. I'll come play for the Clippers, but you got to trade for Paul George. I don't care what you give up. Give up SGA. Give up every pick known to man. And it ended up blowing up in their face. It didn't look like that bad of a trade at the time. It looked like an overpay. It didn't look like that bad of a trade, and they're still paying that trade off with with the picks to OKC, with the two-time MVP in Alexander, and just pick after pick after pick. But finally something goes the Clippers' way. First off, they don't get completely embarrassed with the OKC pick today being 12th, and they do get a little bit of luck here, a little bit of luck at the blackjack table for the Clippers, who get the 5th pick. They get something for Zubac, and they have at least something they can sink their teeth into. And it begs the question, as we all wait for Giannis to be traded or not be traded. And I do think, like I said, he'll be traded here in the offseason. Kawhi, would you think about saying, you know what? We got the 5th pick in the draft. We can turn Kawhi into draft picks. We can turn him into players. And let's just rebuild around the 5th pick. Let's rebuild around what we get from Kawhi. So, odds for next year are not up. I remember this time last year, and I gave this out on VSiN. I gave this out on this podcast. The Spurs got the 2nd pick, and I bet them 45-1 because I thought they could use that 2nd pick as ammo to get Giannis. There's not markets available yet, at least at DraftKings. I'm sure FanDuel and DraftKings, these books will be quick to put them up soon here. They want to take your money. They want to tie up your money. But there's no such bet where I look at this and say, you know what? This team got lucky in the lottery, so I'm going to bet them next year. If the Pacers had gotten a good pick, if the Pacers had kept their pick and gotten 1 through 4, and the price was intriguing on them to win the title, to win the East, that would have been something you looked at. But the fact that they lost it is unfortunate for them. And to me, that's the big story. The Pacers losing their pick, Clippers getting lucky, and obviously the Wizards with a little bit of luck too. They got, I don't want to say lucky, they got the John Wall number one pick back in 2010. He's a good player with the structure of the NBA salary cap, though. You end up getting a good player. You pay him a fortune. It's hard to get rid of him. It ends up kind of being a negative contract. So it's not like that was the Wembanyama lottery, the LeBron lottery. Not that this is either, but a fascinating day. And there's some betting tentacles. We'll wait for the Giannis trade at some point here this summer. And who knows, maybe a Kawhi Leonard trade at some point, too. Coming back, we'll wrap up the show. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should have been more podcast.
Welcome back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. Closing out the show here, and I will be on Monday morning, 9:30 Eastern, with Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the book. So check that out. And again, this podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Download, subscribe. It'll be in your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcast. Usually, I think it drops 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. So every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, all of that good stuff, which some people actually do. I know some people listen to this. It goes one ear out the other, but some people actually do rate, review, and subscribe. Really helps us out. And at some point here, I'll do a contest. And I do these every couple months. And if you leave a review, you'll be eligible. You win a cash prize. And I paid out of my own pocket. It helps the podcast. It helps everything grow. Helps the algorithm. So got to do that. that and just kind of pay the bills and promote the podcast that way. But quickly here on baseball, not quickly, because I do want to get to some other things, but 6 weeks in or so to the season, the story really is parity, where there's just not a lot of great teams. I know the Dodgers, obviously the short shot, the favorite to win the World Series and the rightful favorite. Their pitchers are always in and out. Snell's hurt. He's not hurt. Glasnow's always hurt. So they don't feel like the favorite. The Yankees on the other side come back down to earth a little bit in Milwaukee this weekend. You knew that was probably due to happen. And that loss on Saturday was terrible. Why Tim Hill was thrown at third base with one out and men on first and second, for people that saw this, he throws to third in a play where he had no chance. He hits the runner. I mean, if there was nobody out, I could maybe understand it. You want to get the lead runner with one out, throw to first, get the out, and just get out. The Yankees just have a habit. And it's not all Boone's fault, although they are just not buttoned up under Boone. They do some dumb things sometimes, base running, fielding. That classic World Series where they made all those errors and miscues against the Dodgers that cost them that game. And who knows, maybe that World Series with how that played out. But there's just no dominant team. It's just a lot of parity. And even if you think the Yankees are the best team in the American League and they're going to run and hide, it's a long season. You can't win the pennant in May. Injuries are possible. It's such a small sample size with baseball in the playoffs. And even if they're in the ALCS, you know what? By definition, somebody else has to emerge. And whether that's, I thought Baltimore would be good. They're not. They've been hurt. Maybe if they weren't hurt, they would be, better. Maybe not. Maybe they're just bad. The Mariners have been disappointing. They played a little bit better. A lot of people liked the Royals. The Tigers obviously have no Scooble. This time last year, and I'll put it this way, this time last year, nobody saw the Blue Jays coming. So there's maybe a team coming here. I would think there probably is a team coming that we're not expecting that makes a run either to the ALCS, to the World Series, and knocks off the Yankees. Because look, the Yankees with Schlittler, with Fried, Rodon and Cole back, on their way back. Rodon is back. Cole will be back soon. He had a double-A start on Sunday. There's going to be somebody that is either going to play them in the ALCS or just beat them at some point in the playoffs. Maybe it's Texas, and I talked about this. I'll get to the Monday games here in a second. To me, and it's funny, I bet this on Tuesday at 13-1, DeGrom, Cy Young, with Scooble being hurt, Crochet being hurt. I bet DeGrom Tuesday night, Cy Young, he goes out and pitches 6 innings against the Yanks, gives up like 4 runs, and his number moved to like 19-1, which, like, if he pitched 6 innings, 2 runs, his odds would probably stay the same, if not lower. 6 innings, 4 runs is not enough to me to move the line $6. Obviously, you have to worry about health with him, with all of these guys, but he pitched 7 shutout innings Sunday against the Cubbies, who have been playing really well, have been hitting really well. 7 shutout innings, 10 Ks, a DeGrom-esque performance. Now, I know he doesn't have the video game stats he used to have. He doesn't throw 102. He's not striking out, 12, 13 guys a game. But 7 innings, 3 hits, no walks, 10 Ks, his ERA now 2.62. Most of these awards are down when the games are going on. But to me, DeGrom in that 15-18-1 range here to win the Cy Young is still a good bet here, in terms of him winning this award. Because, all right, Schlittler 2-1. I mean, that's just too short to bet. Fried got rocked the other night. He was 3-4-1. I know his number dropped. There's so much that can happen. There's so much that can go wrong. I don't want to lay a single-digit number. I want a little juice. Now, I don't want to throw my money away. I know people have mentioned Will Warren or Emerson Hancock, and maybe this is an award where 100-1 can come in, but I want something that's a balance between there's some teeth on it, there's some juice on the payout, you get a double-digit payout, but it's also realistic. And I think there would be a narrative for DeGrom to win this award too. He's, he's a likable guy. He seems like a good guy. He'd been through all those injuries. There would be a little bit of a sentimental feel towards it. I know he's won this award twice, but maybe the narrative would be there. Hey, he's won it in the National League. Let's give it to him in the American League. He's overcome all these injuries. I think if he's in the mix, there could be an appetite to give DeGrom this award. Again, he entered the day 18-19-1. This kind of performance probably lowers the number, but probably doesn't lower it too much. And you probably still, when these odds reopen, can get them 15-16-1. I think that's a very good bet. As far as the games on Monday, you always have a little bit of a lighter card. We have the Rays and the Jays. We'll see if the Rays at some point come back down to earth. I would imagine they do. Jays with Gausman going are -143 favorites. Total 7.5. Rasmussen going for Tampa. I would look towards an under first three in there. I've been playing a lot of these first three unders recently. Gave out a couple of them on Sunday. Now, when it's a good pitching matchup and the total's low like this at 7.5, it's probably going to be 2.5 with a lot of juice. Sometimes they're 1.5 when you get a really good pitching matchup. I can't lay the 1.5s just because it's too easy. I mean, think about it. The leadoff guy gets on, you give up a home run, and you already lose your under 1.5 first three. But 2.5, even if it's minus 150, minus 160, Gausman versus Rasmussen, I would look under 2.5, even if you have to lay some juice in that first three. Because what happens a lot is when you get a good pitching matchup, sometimes you lose the first five because the fourth, fifth inning, second, third time through the lineup, you've seen the pitcher a couple times. That's where the offense comes. Very, very often, the first time through the lineup is a breeze for these pitchers. And it's 1-0 after three, 1-1 after three. So I like that under 2.5 first three with Tampa and Toronto. Diamondbacks and Rangers, a World Series rematch, a World Series that everyone pretty much forgets about from a few years ago. Texas is a minus 143 favorite as well over Arizona. It's Soroka going against Eovaldi. And again, maybe Texas is a team, you know, you can look out for as making a run. If they got in, they would certainly have the pitching here to make a run. Seattle at Houston, waiting for these two teams to kind of fire. It's amazing. The first three lines I look at, all minus 143 favorites. Seattle is also a minus 143 favorite with George Kirby going against Lambert. Lambert was pretty impressive last time out, threw the ball well. Kirby is obviously very talented. All the Mariners pitchers are very talented, but man, it's, I don't know if it's when I bet on them or it's just, it's, or what it is. Every time I need one of these Seattle pitchers to throw a good game, whether it's Gilbert or Kirby or whoever, last year in the playoffs, I had Seattle futures. They just seem to always want you leaving a little more, but they all are very talented and all good pitchers. So Seattle, a rightful favorite there. And then it is Sasaki going for the Dodgers, who are minus 175 favorites over Trevor McDonald. And the Giants over the weekend trade Patrick Bailey, their starting catcher. So maybe some signs there that they're starting to sell. If you're looking for sellers at the deadline, you know, could Devers for the Giants be on the move? Could Yordan Alvarez for the Astros be on the move? They've gave up a lot of picks. They gave up young prospects for some win now moves in recent years, and they might be in a rebuild. So Yordan Alvarez, Devers, there's some guys, you already start to look 6 weeks, a couple months down the road here in terms of the trade deadline, who could be available, who could swing a race, that kind of thing. So a lighter slate, you got some other games here on a Monday too, but those are the four that are listed as we do this. And again, the one I like the most is the first three under there with Tampa in Toronto. Even if you have to pay a little juice, I don't mind that one. NHL, we've got Colorado and Minnesota here. Minnesota gets on the board on Saturday in game three. They win that game 5-1. So that is now a 2-1 series lead with Colorado, who everyone just assumes it's going to be Colorado versus Carolina. Maybe it will be. Carolina sweeps Philly and makes it look pretty easy, although a couple of those games did go to overtime. But Colorado minus 130, total is 6.5. As I mentioned this with the NBA, game four is where these series kind of take shape. If Minnesota can win, it's 2-2. You know what? It's a best of three. Anything can happen. If Colorado's up 3-1 going home, you can pretty much forget it. It's going to be good night, the lights for Minnesota. I'm curious, and I'm not enough of a hockey guy to know. Do a little hockey here a little bit more as we get to the cup and cup final, get closer. Last year, this time, Sam Bennett for Florida was 40-1 to win Conn Smythe, and he ended up winning it. And it might have even been later than this. Right now, everyone seems to think if Colorado wins, which most people expect, McKinnon, the short shot at plus 320, Anderson, 5-1, Cole Makar is plus 950, then everyone else is 13-1 or longer. Taylor Hall, Stankoven, Jackson Blake, Mitch Marner, 16-1, Jack Eichel, 22-1. Again, I'm not enough of a hockey guy to know. I know we had Jonathan Davis on the Sunday show, VSiN Weekend Morning Line with JJ, John Jastrzemski. And the guy he brought up was, and he mentioned a couple guys, but I believe he mentioned Stankoven at 13-1. But he said, you know what? If you want to bet Colorado, if you think Colorado is going to win, like most people expect, McKinnon at plus 320, not the worst bet, because if they win, he's probably going to win. And the price on McKinnon is better than the price on the Avalanche. So we'll see here. Just because a guy was 30-40-1 this time last year to win Conn Smythe and it got home doesn't mean that's going to be a regular thing. Obviously, but that'll do it. And Monday, we got NBA playoff games here. I mentioned I like the Cavs. I like the Thunder. I think both favorites win. I think both favorites cover. And under 2.5 in the first three, Rays and Jays in the baseball. So NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, you start to get to that point of the year where you don't get multiple games every night. At least we'll get there soon here as we slowly turn the page towards summer. But rate, review, subscribe, stick around on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.